before in UE here. So one more scenario here, just so you know. Sometimes Patrick comes in this area with to visit, and his job takes him in this area. Well, sometimes we like to meet for lunch. And, you know, I don't have to call him on the cell phone or call him on the radio. I can, you know, turn my APRS radio on, and it gives me a lat and long and a location to where he is. So while you're writing things down, I want you to write down this website, and it's called APRS/FI, or Foxtrot India. And since you have a licensed call sign, go ahead and open an account. It's free. Doesn't cost anything. But you can see geographically on a map where all of these stations are and what they do. And if you'll click on them, it'll open a little window, and you can see the information that they're beaconing, which is kind of, you know, useful information. Is that you can use the APRS to, let's say, for example, you want to know the status of a location that you're not always at. So you're able to program information into that packet that is sent out. Say, for example, I want to know the voltage of something, or I want to know the temperature of something, or if I want to know this circuit is open or closed. That radio sits there, and it collects that information, and it beacons it out as frequently as you tell it to. So I can monitor a situation 50 miles away. You know, I can turn on my radio and know the status of what's going on with something that I'm monitoring, like a solar grid. You know, knowing the voltage of that solar grid is pretty important, right? So that's what I use it for, and to stay in touch with, you know, friends like Patrick and all. But there's a lot to it. Check out the website. It's pretty interesting.
AKV, yeah, I will definitely check that out. And, yeah, you more than answered my question. And thanks, Patrick, for that info. I didn't know it could do all that stuff. It could just be kind of like a monitoring system, as long as you just set whatever parameter you want to monitor, you know, open, closed, or, you know, temperature and all that stuff. So, yeah, thanks for that good information. And good net. And also, I know there's about six or seven other people out there that want to chime in, so I'll still be listening. But thanks a bunch, Chad and Patrick. KO4JKB, back to net.
Next. I think they were all here for you. So if you want to go ahead and ask a question for Harry, I think he's hanging around for you, so go ahead.
For JKV, I hope I didn't scare everybody away, because I know there was a lot of people that wanted to ask some questions, so I hope everyone stays around, because it's, you know, there's more hours in the evening. But yeah, I did have a question for Harry about the past winter field day. You still there, Harry?
Casey, Parisi, and we're here, Duncan, KO4JKV. I'll say your call sign, so I will remember it next time, maybe. Anyway, go ahead.
Again, this is KO4JKV. I had a funny thing. I had a good, fun, great field day. The Saturday, we just did four contacts, but I had a new ham. A technician that I got to teach him how to do some stuff, which is the blind leading the blind. But the next day, we were on a roll. We got over 30 contacts. And about 2 o'clock, I dialed down to one person. I got his contact, and let me let this break. that Sunday before 2 o'clock, I was just spinning the dial, and I got a contact and logged it in. And when it was over, I looked back and I realized it was out of my bounds for general. It was an extra area. So my question to you, I put this to Facebook, and some people said, yeah, keep it in there. People say take it out. Most people say keep it in there. But since I talked, I made a contact on Winterfield Day out of my privileges. What should I do as far as the logbooks go? Over.
Personally, Duncan, I would make it disappear. I know I got excited. I was where you were. This is a long time ago, and was turning the knob on the radio, and I heard this call from somewhere over in Europe, and that gave me an adrenaline shot, and I went right back to him, and this voice very quietly came back, and he said, sorry, friend, he says, you are out of band, have a good day. And with that, I turned the knob back in the other direction and pretended like I hadn't been down there. Also, personally, I would not record that. Reality, I think, is probably nobody's going to get upset about it. Now, the only problem is that station that worked you, he doesn't know, you know, what your class is, and if you don't send in that call sign, he's going to get a penalty for having a contact in his log that's not confirmed. So, I don't know. I think I might do a flip-flop here and say leave it in there, but I don't think anybody's going to call you down on that, but you did learn the lesson, and of course my next gig to you is get that extra class book out and start studying, and then you don't have to worry about that. But you shouldn't have been there, and having it logged like that kind of documents that you were where you weren't supposed to be. But on the other hand, the guy on the other end is gonna lose not just the points for the contact, but I think they actually penalize you for having contacts that are not confirmed. So I'll leave that up to you, Duncan. Personally, I'd probably leave it in there just so the other fellow wouldn't get done for having an incomplete contact, because that's one of those honest mistakes that happens. And if we're totally honest, I think we've all done it. I know I just admitted to anybody that was listening, I don't know if there's statutes and limitations on this, but this happened when I first got my license in 1988. I had just upgraded to general and could get on single sideband, and was not paying good attention. So anyway, I'll leave that up to you. I think I'd probably say leave it in there, because it cost the other guy points that, you were having fun. He may have been a little bit more serious, and we'll comment on that a little bit later. KO4JKV, KC4EZN.
KO4JKV, yeah, that is what most of the response has been on the forums on Winterfield Day, so I'll just leave it in there. And, I can take some, I've been reprimanded before, and, it was unintentional, and I wouldn't want him to get him penalized, because I don't care if I'm penalized, because I don't really care about scores. I was just trying to see if I could do it. So, well, thanks for the advice, Harry, and it was fun, and I look forward to different contests up in the future, and thanks for getting back to me. Back to net, KO4JKV.
KC4EZN, yeah, I'd just like to make a comment or two. The comments you made, Chad, about listening to those fellas jumping all over that guy that wasn't putting his call sign out, I personally have mixed ideas about that. What I was taught a long time ago, and if you pay attention to this repeater and some others, when There are some people, you hear them during the day, there's somebody down there that likes to put his little whoop-whoop siren on, or you don't hear a call sign. And what I was told was basically when you hear stuff like that, ignore it. Pretend like you didn't hear it, don't recognize it, because some of those folks are looking for personal attention. And you're just, you know, making them happy. But when you get in, if you want to hear some really good stuff, get down on one of the single side band contests that's international. This Winter Field Day is a very small event in comparison, and you will hear some really. I won't use the adjectives over the air, but. We call him the frequency police, and he's working up police. When you're working the contest, a lot of the guys will listen on one frequency, and then they'll tune up and down the band. Or actually, they'll talk on one frequency and listen up and down the band for people calling them, and they'll tell you, I'm working split. They'll tell you where they're working split at. And if you turn on the radio and you hear the guy put out his call and you go back to him immediately, and then all of a sudden somebody says, hey, fella, he's working split. That sometimes is helpful, and sometimes when there's two or three people doing that, they will keep you from hearing the guy that you needed to hear. And my only advice there, just be cool. Don't get involved in it. And that little round knob on the front of the radio, move it up, turn it in one direction or the other, and look for another clean spot. Try again. That's my axe grinding for the moment. I had a good time on field day. I worked on one station, single side band, and the rest of them were on PSK 31, which FT8 is the place where people are at. And I think I worked about 80 contacts, and all but one were on PSK 31 over all the bands. I was really surprised to see that much activity, but because normally everything but FT8 is kind of dead. But anyway, we'll turn it back to you and leave it at that. Just be cool, and I don't engage those people. And the other thing I was told early on was when you turn the radio on, listen and listen and listen and listen, and you'll eventually hear some of the DX people are good about telling you where they're working, and some forget to tell you, and you just have to listen. If you hear the guy giving out his call and you don't hear anybody responding back to him, then you know he's listening somewhere else. With that, we'll turn it back to you, Chad. It's KC4ECN.
Got it here. So this is for Duncan first, then Harry. So Duncan, when I got my general, it was within hours of getting my general. My cousin that lives here in Liberty, he's an amateur extra. So we had been trying to make contact. Well, I had been listening as a technician, listening for him. Well, when I got my general, we were trying to make contact on HF. And I would always, you know, ask him on the phone, hey, what frequency do you want to meet on? So he gave me a frequency to go to, and I went straight to it. And I put my call out, and it was, I don't know, less than 2 seconds. I heard this voice. It sounded like God. Chad Hightower, are you a general class? And I was proud of it. I was like, I sure am. I got my license today. Well, you are out of frequency. You cannot operate on this frequency. And it killed me. I mean, it killed me. It took me 2 or 3 days to get over it. So, Harry is right. Get the book out. Go get the extra class. You don't even have to look at the chart. Go where you want, do what you want. Don't have to worry about it. But it did. I mean, it gave me the poochie lip for a couple of days. And Harry, as far as the disagreement goes, no. I don't get involved in that. I do not. That's not my place, and that's not anything I'm interested in. Just don't do it. Just go somewhere else. But you got to admit, sometimes it's kind of fun to listen to. It's like talk show radio. So I don't get involved in it either. It's just not smart business. That's somebody else's argument. I just don't want to be a part of that. So you're exactly right. So all right, who's up next? What's the next comment?
NUE KO4RAX.
Dacusville. KO4RAX. Cannot remember your name, sir, but I got the Dacusville part right.
Jim here. I had a question on, we'll just go back. Last week I was on 10 meters listening to a station in the Dominican Republic, and I could hear North Carolina stations, and I even heard one of the people who's always checking in here on the net from Greenville hit this station. I thought that I kind of would be in the skip zone. That kind of left me a little confused, so I'm wondering if you might be able to explain that.
Can. KK4JBQ. This is KO4NUE. You still in there, Larry?
Sure.
Jim in Dakesville. I got a 10-meter question. Did you hear the question, sir?
Well, question, and I can offer some reasoning, but I didn't actually understand completely his explanation. Whether his hearing other stations that were close to him, I'm map challenged, and that will become extremely obvious. I don't know from Dominican Republic which direction on the map that is, but just simply put, depending on the design of your antenna, on 10 meters or any other HF frequency, you will have ground wave and sky wave energy. Now, if it's a vertical in particular, it's going to be largely sky wave, a low angle of takeoff from your antenna. It's going to go up to the ionosphere and bounce off, just like a ricochet. Most of the energy will come down again. The geography between where it takes off and where it makes that first return to the Earth is called a skip zone. And you will not be heard in the skip zone. That's in the near field. And when I say near, I mean, oh goodness, hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles, depending on your frequency, what band it is, of course, and your power. So the skip zone is something where you can't be heard there. There are antennas that, by their design, will go straight up and straight down. And they are near incident vertical sky wave, not ground wave, but sky wave. And they come down, they sort of shower like if, just imagine yourself with a water hose. Try this, you'll never forget it. Take a water hose, turn on the spigot, go out away from things and other people, and shoot that thing straight up. It'll come straight down and shower on you. That is the near-incident sky wave. That covers the skip zone. So, as I say, I'm not sure exactly, because of the way the question was asked, what the issue is. But that explains the propagation and what a skip zone is. KK4JBQ.
KI4LCI, what was that location he was wanting to know about again, if it's in the Caribbean?
For RAX, I was listening to a station that was in the Dominican Republic. I was more confused that I heard a Greenville station, say, 30 miles away from me. I just thought it was strange. I thought I would be in the skip zone and not hear a Greenville station. I was running a homebrew inverted V, and I have no clue what the other antenna was. I just thought it strange that I could hear a station so close.
Well, that's what an inverted V does for you. It has elements of dipole as well as the inverted V property, which has some sky wave. And as you say, you don't know what his antenna was, but certainly it was one that had that propagated into the near field where you are. And perhaps if he was lucky, you hadn't said that yet, but perhaps if he was lucky, he was heard by the Dominican station. That's what's so wonderful, so fascinating about this hobby, trying to understand propagation and antennas. KK4JBQ.
Well, to make it to the Dominican Republic station, but I was not.
KC4EZN, 10 meters is a band that some days it thinks it's an HF band and some days it thinks it's a VHF band. And then, as Larry said, there is that thing called a ground wave. So don't ask me which one of those things that you were involved in, but I did work some 10 meter on winter field day, and it would have had to have been HF, but I had a neighbor who lived about a half a mile away from me, and we worked each other on 20 meters and came to the conclusion that it would have been about as easy to have stepped out on our back porch and hollered at each other, because 20 meters is not it's not a band that you're going to work anybody local on, except by ground wave. And it just so happened that we were not quite able to eyeball each other, but real close. And that's might have been part of what you were getting into, hearing your guy 30 miles away, but yet you couldn't get into the Dominican Republic. You were experiencing 10 meters like it was VHF, and your friend was doing it as HF. And 10 meters can be like that. You just have to kind of, again, listen and see what it's doing, and if it's working like HF, go for it. And if not, then turn the knob and try another band. KC4ECM.
KK4JBQ. One last thing I'll add is that 10 meters has a nickname. It is the magic band. When 10 meters is open, a lot of things that are impossible on lower frequencies, impossible on any other band, is possible on 10 meters. But it's seasonal, so there you are. KK4JBQ.
I haven't been doing this very long, but I just want to share my experiences with you and tell you that. So here's what I've done. Now, Larry and Walt helped me, build my first dipole. Never built one before. It's homebrew. And depending on what you want to do, what what I've done is put two ropes on the end of each side of my dipole. And that lets me easily change, you know, the angle or flat top it or whatever. I just, you know, go pull a rope and it pulls the antenna up. So for the past, on and off for the past 6 months, you know, I've experimented with that. So I would encourage you to, you know, maybe find a way to change the height of the ends so that you can quickly move it from an inverted V to a flat top. Or you can drop one end and leave one end up. I mean, I've done every kind of configuration I think there's possible. And each time I make a change to it, oh, the results. And I mean, it's amazing, you know, just how a couple of feet can change, or, you know, changing the height, or moving a leg here, or moving a leg there, or, you know, just what a difference. So, you know, just want to let you know, for somebody who hasn't been in this long, is that you don't have an inverted V. That is the position it's in right now. But, you know, if you'll spend 30, 40 minutes and, you know, hook you some strings to it so you can change the heights of the legs, you can have a lot more that will do maybe less or maybe more. But, you know, my wife thinks it's funny sometimes because I go in and change. One day I had one leg way up and I had one leg way down just to, you know, see what she's like. What are you doing? You know, Larry didn't tell you to do that. And I'm just like, well, I'll take Larry's advice. And, you know, he tree fell on his antenna and, you know, half of it was laying on the ground. So I'm going to go try it. And, oh, man, what a difference. So, you know, you got an antenna there that you can do a lot with. Just figure out a way to change the configuration. And, you know, be surprised at the results you get. So with that, I'll turn it over.
J-I-4-L-C-I. They said 10 meters and 6 meters are both considered magic banyans. Both of them are. They really are. One time on 6 meters, here on this very radio, on this very tri-band antenna, I worked somewhat in Delaware. Yeah, up where Biden come from, Delaware, on 52.525 one time on 6 meter FM calling frequency. And back many years ago, back when I had 11 meter antenna up before I got into this hot and heavy, there's here where I'm at, and someone out there just between here and Pickens, I know he was running illegal all the way around, but believe it or not, he worked somebody up in Canada, and I heard on my 11 meter radio, heard him here too, just on a 5/8 wave gamma stick vertical. Now, I couldn't work because I wasn't running up for 4 watts or less, but I did hear him here. KI4LZI.
RAX. I appreciate all the comments on there. It just was something that struck me as strange. I've been playing around with different configurations, building different antennas, just having fun. And to Larry and Andy, I kind of think of 10 meters as the static band these days. It's a hit or miss for me, but we'll keep playing with it. And I appreciate all the comments and all the help. KO4RAX.
KI4LCI. Keep up some with 10 meters as if you got a analog scanner that's got 10 FM, analog FM on it. Program those 3 or 4 10 meter FM repeater frequencies in it and have a halfway decent outside antenna for the scanner. And when the band opens up, those 10 meter FM repeaters and I'll stop popping in and out. And you'll hear some people sometimes on 29-6 Simplex. That's kind of how I judge the 10-meter being judged generally by the FM frequencies, because I got them in the scanner, and when it opens up, I start hearing them on this scanner antenna on top of the roof of the house. KI4LZI.
I hope we got you straight. Let me make sure I got it. Help you a little bit. And nobody else got any comments. Larry, I got you and Harry, I got something I want to tell you. But we give a break here if anybody else got a question. Go ahead, comment.
Hey, this is K4HWY, Marcial in Saluda, North Carolina. And as I build a 10-meter antenna, I'm having a lot of fun listening to you guys. I was born and raised in Dominican Republic. I came here when I was 24 years old, 12 years ago. And, having a lot of fun learning a lot from you guys, and I appreciate everybody. So I'll pass it back to you, Chad, I think your name is. And y'all are awesome, so... 73 to everybody. I'll be listening on the side. K4HWI.
Thanks, y'all. And, Walt started this months ago, and it's just been a really good place to come and learn, and I'm very thankful to you. I really am. But, Larry and Harry, let me tell you what happened to me a couple days ago. Let me make sure I got this. This place up in North Carolina, I know you can't discuss businesses or anything like that on the radio, so I'll leave the name out. But I found this place that these people buy all of the returns from these major internet places that sell things. You know what I'm talking about. Well, if it's, not a certain dollar amount, they don't want it back. They'll just put it on a pallet, and then they'll sell it for bulk to get what they can get, you know. Well, these people, they buy all the pallets, and then they've set up a shop there locally. And you can go and, just kind of, look around. So me and Anna, we went up to... We got on the highway, moved north for a little while, and decided we'd go, visit with this place. Oh, my word. I bought 400 feet of copper 12-gauge wire. Copper wire for $23. 400 feet of it. So... you know what I'm going to do with that next, right?
Dad.
Exactly. So, I'm thinking, I'm going to work on my fan dipole, I guess, or, I'm... Who knows? But, copper, that's like gold with an antenna, So, I am considering taking, my communication wire dipole down. I feel like a traitor, but I think I may take it down and use this copper wire to and see how it goes. But Anna told me, she said, we got to go. You can't buy any more stuff. So I bought the junction boxes, not junction boxes, but these, weather boxes that you put on the outside of your house to, you put your coax in there, connectors in there and whatnot. It's sealed from weather, in other words. Those things are a little pricey. But I bought a couple of them for like $3. And, I bought a 30-amp power supply for $20. It's still in the box. The box had been opened, and bought a big circuit breaker, DC circuit breaker, and I mean, it just a whole bunch of stuff, you know, got the whole car full of stuff, and so I'm tickled with that. I'm going to use every single bit of it, but I was absolutely tickled death to get that copper wire. This here, 1,500 feet. Now it's all on, you know, 500 foot rolls, but 1,500 feet of 3/16 inch stainless steel cable. I mean, I think I paid $40 or $50 for all three rolls of it. You know, I don't know what I'm gonna do with it, but hey, that stuff's expensive. I'll stick it down there in the shop and I'll use it for something.
PQ, I have one suggestion for your stainless steel wire. It is the absolute best guy wire that you might use in the trees. Trees, as they sway just a little bit, will put a lot of tension on your guy. And you don't even think of guying with some paracord or something like that. It'll snap. But if this happens to be wound wire, stainless steel, it'll hold the tree up. So you've got really good guy wire there if you care for it. KK4JBQ.
That's what I got. I got pieces of a tower, and I'm gonna put it up here at the deer camp eventually. But you know, you start pricing that stuff out, I mean, it's just absolutely expensive. So they got a website. I'll text you the website so you can check it out. It's not too far to drive. It's probably closer to Harry than it is anybody. But we went up there and spent, I don't know, hour or two up there just walking around. I mean, anything you want. Yeah, you know, you got foot problems. You need a foot brace. Hey, they had that. you need a toilet seat with LED lights on it. Hey, they got that too. So we were just absolutely just tickled to death. So we got the car full of stuff, and she bought a couple quilts, and you know, a couple of things for the house. But we were tickled to death with it and figured we got a good deal. And got a Zaxby's plate to take back home with us too, so we were happy.
Listening for you.
Go on, Larry. Anybody else out there? Anybody else got any questions or anything? We're here, so let's hear it.
KI4DTY. First, did you buy any ring lights? And second, I'm actually looking for maybe changing the antenna on my truck. And I know this is beneath you guys. I know that's kind of like the best topic here. But I'm scratching my head to try to figure out what would be a good antenna to switch out on my truck. And maybe put on my little, my son has a Jetta. And I'm thinking about putting a little antenna on there just for like an HT radio.
You want it? You want to take it?
That, although I don't have a truck and I've never owned a truck, but I have talked with so many people who have everything from a bug catcher, which is a bottom-loaded coil, to a screwdriver. And if you don't know what that means, we can explain that. But depending on the antenna you wish to attach, your biggest challenge will be to attach it without damaging the vehicle or causing future damage as you roll down the road. the type of mount, which it might be a compression mount, which has set screws, you might say, which if you set them too enthusiastically, you're going to bend modern car sheet metal. So the more the screws are in the mount, and the less you tighten each one, the more grip it will have. Whether it be lip mount for the trunk of an automobile, or bed mount in one of the post receivers, or bumper mount. But the deal will be to we'll just try it on the vehicle and see how well it works. And I'm talking about the bands that it's intended for and the SWR readings that you might get. If the FWR is off, it could be that panels of the truck are not well bonded to one another. And you can get into a whole truckload, and that's no pun intended, but a lot of bonding one panel to the next panel, because your truck itself is your ground plane. And you want to have the feed point of the antenna as low, not as high, but as low as it can be. All that should make sense, but if not, let me know.
See, I have an Expedition, and I am running 50-watt radio in my truck. Again, Expedition. I have, I believe it's called a super loaded coil. It's a 19-inch magnetic mount, and I think it's good up to 50 watts, which is what my radio is, 50 watts. I have it just center front on top of the truck, so I have. Well, one of my major problems is the fact that I do a lot of these video and photo shoots, and I'll go into a parking deck, and I gotta stand up on the foot of my truck and unscrew that antenna each time. But I guess the other thing is I'm feeling like maybe I'm not getting great distance with this antenna, but it could be just my locations too.
Truck, your location is constantly changing. Your surroundings are constantly changing. When we put up a fixed antenna, it's in a fixed spot on the earth, and it underneath it, the ground doesn't change. But as you drive a vehicle, it's constantly changing. You have overhead wires, you're on concrete, you're on dirt. You know, so you'll have varying performance for sure. Location on the vehicle, I think if you have a truck, probably from what I've seen others do, it's best to have it near the back, because, as I say, the truck, the metal body of the truck itself will be a ground plane, and if it's forward, that is to say the way you're driving, and the way you're looking, and if you have a compass on your car, you're actually pushing more RF straight ahead of you. If it's center front, it's pushing it more behind you. And if it's right smack in the middle, this is your magnetic mount, of course. If it's smack in the middle of the body itself, then it might be more omnidirectional. But every time you think about an antenna, think about the pattern. And there is a pattern that you can anticipate, even more so with your ground plane antenna, a pattern that you can anticipate, and you can actually move that pattern to suit yourself. Now, mobile operations are fascinating. and they can be, you know, you can take it anywhere, park it, and you've got a brand new QTH, so to speak, for your radio. Wish Gary were here because KI4DOS, because I know he has a screwdriver. I'm forgetting the name right now. But he loves that thing, and that's adjustable. So there's a little motor in the base which lengthens or moves the coil, you know, within the structure of the antenna. And so it's quite vertical, quite versatile. I've never owned a screwdriver, but a lot of people swear by them. It's kind of expensive. You need a controller to make those changes in bands and whatnot. But it's a multi-band antenna, and you don't have to, if you have a controller, you don't have to stop and change things on the antenna and then get underway again. Oh, boy. Interesting question. I'll let someone else have it. KK4JBQ.
KI4LCI. You was talking about you're going to switch it from a truck to a regular type vehicle. You only going to be running just one band? You was talking about 50 watts. That sounds like just 2 meters. Or you going to be doing HF, VHF, and UHF. KI4LCI.
So I'm talking about having two different setups, so I apologize for the confusion in the way I asked the question. I actually was asking about two different antennas. I'm currently just a technician, so, you know, I'm just hitting that 2 meter stuff, so that's where I'm at. So I was looking for dual band, so my truck, my Expedition, I currently have TYT. What is that, 9600 or something like that? And that's the one, that's the vehicle I have the mag mount on currently. And I'm kind of looking at, you know, I just would like better reception. And maybe this antenna is just the best I'm going to get, which if that's it, then I guess that's part of my question. My second question was, I have a small HT, you know, what is that, the 8-watt radio, and I have my son has a little Jetta, and every now and then I have to drive that thing, so I was just saying, what would be a good little mag mount antenna for that, where I'm just plugging in this little HT whenever I'm driving it, so I'm not putting a full-fledged, you know, mobile rig in it.
Well, KI4LZI, that mobile rig you got there, if I remember correct, similar to my 8900 here, it's a quad bander, and when you're using an HT for a mobile, you need all the gain you can get with an HT. Even if you got one that does 7 watts, it's not like a 50-watt mobile or an 80-watt mobile. You need all the gain you can get on 2 meters with a 7-watt HT. Go ahead, Larry, fill him in on it. I'll have to get out here now, and it's about time for my answer. KI4LCI.
I currently drive KK4JBQ. I currently drive a RAV4. It's a Toyota SUV. And I have a magnetic mount for my dual band Kenwood. The magnetic mount is practically right above my head. The top is metal. On some modern vehicles, they don't use metal on the top. I don't know about the Jetta, but that would be necessary to use the magnetic mount. Whenever you have an antenna outside the vehicle and it is in motion, you are putting an extreme wind load on that piece of wire. It has to be high enough to be, you know, usable. But you have other considerations. The longer that antenna is, the more wind loading it's going to encounter. If it's base loaded, which is what I use, a base loaded vertical whip, then it can be shorter. And I use a three magnet mount. It's arranged in a triangle. The seat point is in the center, and these three magnets will never let that thing go. All at once. I can loosen one, and then the other, and then the other, and take it off. But it is a very strong adhesion to the roof of the car. Those are, and then of course, if you have a garage, a shorter antenna, well, you may have to take it off and put it on again to get into the garage. KK4JBQ.
Why? So yeah, I've seen the three magnet mag mount, so I know what you're talking about there. I don't park inside my actual garage, so that's not a problem. I was just talking about, like I said, if I go downtown or something, which I do go in quite a few parking lots where I have to drive in and remove the. Unscrew the antenna on my current mag mount. I was also looking as far as for my truck. I was looking at a possible. Have you seen? I'm sure you have. But the little short antennas, almost like what the back of a police car has, where it can be lip mounted on the hood. So I was possibly looking at that, but wanted to kind of get your take on that.
Quite a few things with a flexible whip. You can mount it to the rear and tether it to the front and bend it over, and it'll have some vertical properties. It'll have some horizontal properties. That's just something fun to play with, but it keeps it low. And parking garages, they always have a warning about the height just over the entrance to these things. And there's also drive-thrus. They have warnings. And you know, you just don't want to damage your vehicle, your antenna, or anyone else's personal property. A lot to think about, perhaps. But when you put it in motion, you will find, as I have with my mobile, there's a lot of convenience, a lot of contacts that you'll make, and even assistance in someone else's emergency or your own, perhaps, if you have a radio in the vehicle. Not a bad idea, but there's, you know, there are different considerations to take into account. I would encourage you to do that, and if you... Or not if, when you upgrade into the world of HF, you don't leave mobile contacts behind. It just increases, like, you know, for your QTH, it just increases your enjoyment of the hobby because you can take HF on the road. And that's a wonderful thing to do. KK4JBQ.
Bye. Cool. Thank you for the info, and I'll probably be back with more questions as I narrow this search down. But go ahead, Chad. Take it back.
Thank you, question. I did get a couple of ring lights. They had a really good price on them. So I got you and Patrick one. And, you know, yours is missing a power cord. But, hey, I'll make one for you.
Yeah, I figured you'd be good for that. So, no, I appreciate that. That'll definitely make both of us look good for our next Zoom meeting.
Yeah, so one thing I was going to tell Larry is, so I've got this 2500 Dodge that I drive. And it's an extension. extended cab. So the ground plane, you know, where I put the magnetic antenna, it's got a pretty big surface there for, you know, the plane. But sometimes you don't have to take it down and put it in a truck, you know, go through a car wash or something like that. And one day, not thinking, you know, I went to the car wash and threw the antenna in the truck and to get to the car wash. And when they got the truck clean, I just opened the door and I just stuck it on top of the truck, you know, didn't center it up or anything, just stuck it right over the door. And I noticed one day that didn't have any problems out of it, didn't think a thing about it. But I hooked the dump trailer behind the truck, and it's, I don't know, it's 7 feet wide by 10 feet long, you know, solid metal dump trailer. And I just kept getting nothing but complaints about, man, you said a lot of noise. What's going on with your radio? And I said, well, I'll look at it when I get home, and disconnected the dump trailer and parked the dump trailer, and I didn't have any more problems out of it. So Larry's right, from what I've seen, is that, you know, the placement of the antenna makes a difference. I'm not exactly able to explain, you know, kind of what happened. I guess I'm putting it so close to the edge of the truck and changed the ground plane on it, and you know, add the dump trailer, it, you know, messes things up too. So I've just got to a point where I just move it and see if it works. If it works, then I just leave it. So I don't get bent around the axle too much with the antennas, because it's just so many variables. And then, you know, you got that nasty word impedance too. So, and then there's that. But, you know, hey, I got a, you know, $30 something other from Amazon, and every time I close the door, it pinches the coax, and I just keep an eye on my SWR, and when it goes bad, I'll get another one and put on it.